Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Collecting ourselves for worship, we pray together. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the prophet Ezekiel. The Lord said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. The word of the Lord.
Grace and Gabby came into the church, so now we can have a children's homily, because secretly we all like the children's homily, though we pretend like it's just for the children. So Grace and Gabby, will you come join me up here? Gracie is especially excited about this. Okay. It's quiz time. Are you ready for this? They said, no, we're not. No. So Gretchen needs to come up here and give you the answer. Come on up here, Gretchen. Come on up. So Gretchen whispers the answers into their ears, and I allow this to happen. Okay. So, you know that there are church holidays, and then there are not church holidays. And then there are holidays that are both church holidays and not church holidays, and everybody holidays. That's kind of confusing, right? Okay. So can one of you give me an example of just a church holiday? We had one not too long ago. It starts with a P. Oh my gosh, you didn't even need a whisper for that one. Pentecost, that's exactly right. Yes. Okay, now can you give me an example of a church holiday that is also an everybody else holiday? Yes, Christmas. Christmas seems to be an everybody holiday and a church holiday. Now, can you give me an example of just an everybody holiday, not so much a church holiday? Hint, today is that holiday. You both said it at the same time, the 4th of July. The 4th of July. Today is the 4th of July. What do we celebrate on the 4th of July? Freedom. Yes. What else do we celebrate? It's kind of a birthday, right? It's the birthday of the United States of America, right? That's what today is. Did you know it's also George Georgeson's birthday? You probably don't know George. Maybe you do. He comes to church here. It's his birthday too. How would you like to compete? Like have your birthday on the nation's birthday? It just doesn't seem like, it seems unfair to have. But if George is watching, George told me, he said, I might not make it this morning. Happy birthday to George. Yours is important just like the nation holiday. So what are some of the things that you think of when you think of the 4th of July? You probably heard some of them last night.
Fireworks.
What else? Yes. I'm glad you said that. She said fireworks and the flag. Okay. Here we go. We've got a flag here. Now I'm going to ask Gretchen to help me. If Gretchen will come and stand here. Okay. If you'll hold that up. Okay. Now I'm just going to check with John to see if we're in shot. Okay, great. Okay, so I wonder why flags are so important to us. There's no right answer to this one. They're red, white, and blue, yeah. I wonder why they're so important. Okay, so that's part of it too. So people have made sacrifices for us, and that's part of the flag helps us remember and celebrate that. Yeah. What else? I wonder. I think that the flag is so important to us because there are symbols on here that remind us about important things about ourselves. Yeah, what do the 50 stars represent? The 50 states. Yes. So there are. And so, you know, there hasn't always been 50 states in the United States, so sometimes there's been less stars on here, right? Because sometimes states tried to break apart. But even before that, states slowly joined the Union, right? So the blue represents our unity, our union. And in that union, there are 55-point stars. Do you know how many stripes there are? Count them right quick. I see Gabby. She's like, count. 13. What is that? 13 original colonies. That's right. And some people say that the colors represent things like valor and integrity and purity. So this flag has symbols that remind us of the hope that we have, that we are unified, right? It helps us to remember where we came from. And it gives us sort of this idea that we're going to move forward like that. Okay, so I'm going to drop this part of this flag and put this back. Did you know that the Episcopal Church has a flag? No. But you've probably seen the Episcopal Shield, but somebody took the Episcopal Shield and made it into a flag. Did you know that? Okay. Who wants to help me with this one? Why don't you? That's my chasuble, not the flag. All right. Okay. So, are we in shot, John? Okay, we're good. Okay. All right. So tell me about some of the similarities between this flag and the other flag. Some of the same colors. This is a little different of a blue, but yeah, some of the same colors. Okay, so there's stars, but they're crosses too. But they're in a blue field. Uh-huh. Yep. Yep.
And then those
stripes
are the same.
Yeah, this is a cross. A lot of people don't see that, but you saw it.
And then instead of it being like kind of cut off right there,
it's more rectangular.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. So there's some symbolism that reminds us of our history here, too. So the Episcopal Church is part of the Church of England, and St. George is the patron saint of England, and this is the cross of St. George. And we also have a connection, historically, with the Church of Scotland, because our first bishop ever, did you know that it takes three bishops to make one bishop? You have to get three bishops together to make one bishop. So they all three bishops lay their hand on a bishop, and that's part of how a bishop is ordained. And we didn't have three bishops in the United States, so and England was mad at us, and we were mad at England at the time. So we didn't go to England to see bishops. We went to Scotland instead. And that guy's name was Samuel. That's going to be on the test. Samuel Seabury. And Scotland, the patron saint is Andrew, and this is the cross of Andrew here. So, and there are, can you count these? I think there's nine of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's easy to count this one twice because it's in both. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And that's because there were nine original dioceses that signed in the 1789 charter of the first Episcopal Church. So we have symbols that remind us that we are unified and as dioceses, that we have a history, and that we're still connected to places like Scotland and the United Kingdom and England. So we have a flag too. So now when you see the Episcopal shield on somebody's car, you can say, oh, those are the crosses of St. George and Andrew stuck together. And your friends will be like, what are you talking about? All right. So thank you for helping me learn, helping all of us learn about the crosses and the flags. Thanks for coming up.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows, was caught up in paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord.
My soul, my soul. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus sent out the 12 into the villages. He said, "Take only a staff, nothing else. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen." So when Sunday falls on a holiday in the midst of a long weekend, you know who your true players are at church on Sunday. These are the true guys, the folks who show up on the holiday Sunday. Thank you for being here. There's a lot going on, and I appreciate the fact that it's important that we think about how God and the birth of this nation sort of work together. How do those two things sort of fit together? I wonder if Mark teaches us anything about that. I think about when I was growing up, my parents always celebrated these holidays, and we would do the thing where we would buy fireworks and sparklers, and it was kind of a big deal. And I remember thinking that this was the most normal thing ever to just celebrate these things. Except at 7 o'clock, no matter what we were doing every night during the week, we would have Bible study. So it was like, no matter what, Bible study trumped everything else, right? That was kind of how we did growing up. And let me just tell you, I hated Bible study. I hated it. It was the worst. I mean, we would gather around our kitchen table, and we would read two chapters out of the Old Testament and one chapter out of the New Testament, and then we'd have some prayers. And then the only relief was that on Fridays we got to play Bible trivia, and we got to compete with each other. And there was this little game that had little pegs, and you got to move your pegs up the rainbow, and every color of the rainbow was a little bit more difficult of a series of questions, and we got to compete with my brother, and that brought my competition out. But other than that, I hated it. You know, and so here I am, 40 years old. I'm 41, actually. And I think, okay, so my parents made me do this every day growing up, and I tell you, when I went to seminary, at an Episcopal seminary, I knew 10 times more about the Bible than anybody else at the seminary, right? And so I think growing up, I always thought I would never subject my child to something like this. And now here's Simon. Get ready, buddy. Get ready. Man, oh man. And so we wonder, like, you know, how do we instill these sort of extremely important aspects of our faith and our common life without boring our kids to death. Part of it is coming to church on days like the 4th of July, right? So what I'm able to do, since my parents subjected that to me, and so like the Old Testament and that story is grounded in my head for the rest of my life, which is a good thing. When I read Mark, and Mark says, only take a staff with you. That's so in the gospel today, here's what's going on. You might not have been listening. You might have been thinking about the hot dogs you were going to eat later or the fireworks you're going to shoot off. That's okay. I'm here for you. So here's what happened in the gospel reading, just in short here. So Jesus goes back to his hometown and speaks in the synagogue. And the people that are really close to him and his family, they say something like, who does this guy think he is? All uppity up there. And they didn't have any sort of trust or faith in him. And so he wasn't able to do a lot of miracles there. And Jesus' response to this happens in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Mark, Jesus' response to this is to send the 12 to the villages of his hometown and his home place to double down, to say, we have to go among these folks. That's Jesus' response. And so you get two sort of what seems like somewhat disjointed parts of the gospel today. The first part is the story where Jesus goes to his hometown, preaches in the synagogue, reads in the synagogue, and gets rejected. And then the second part is Jesus sends his disciples to do a sort of a missionary mission, an evangelism mission among folks with the message of cast out demons, heal folks who are sick, and tell people that they need to turn their lives closer to God, towards God. Those are the three things. And he says, take a staff with you. Take a staff. Here's why that's weird. Here's why that's strange. And you wouldn't know this unless your parents made you read the Bible every night when you were growing up, right? What's weird about that is in Matthew and Luke, Jesus says, take no staff with you. Right? So it's the same story about sending the 12 on this evangelism mission. But in those two, he says, take no staff. But here in Mark, Jesus says, take a staff. What's the difference? What's the difference? And so I looked this up, and the difference is that what Mark is trying to do is draw a parallel between what Jesus is doing, sending those 12 out, and the Exodus, where the people took with them nothing except for their walking staff. Jesus says, take nothing except for your walking staff. It's a new Exodus. It's a new Exodus. So here in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus' response to a broken relationship among his own family and people, a people who have adopted what they believe strongly to be the people that he is in touch with have adapted their faith to fit their lives instead of adapting their lives to fit their faith. Do you see the difference there? They've adapted their faith to fit their lives instead of adapting their lives to fit their faith. And I don't know, but I do that, right? I do that. I adapt my faith to fit my life, right? And I think it's the most natural thing in the world. But when we get confronted by Jesus, the instinct is to reject it, right? To say, oh, no. And Jesus' response to this rejection is to double down. When I tell people about the Bible, I say, you got to read it in three different contexts. Here's where my sermon gets boring. So there's three contexts to Scripture. The first is the historical events that it purports to talk about. The second is the time in which it was written down. And the third is the place where we're hearing it right now. Simon, don't get too upset about this. It's okay. Simon's like, Dad, this is so boring. People do not want to hear about the context of Scripture. Could you just move on right quick? That and I need to burp. So for the Exodus, you know, this is a story that the Hebrew people have been handing down year by year, generation by generation, parents to child, right? And they decided when the temple was destroyed in the exile to Babylon in the 6th century BC to write that story down as a remembering of what God did to them, God did for them back then, and what God will do for them now. And so here we hear it now, and we think, what God has done, God will do. And Jesus is no different. And the author of Mark is no different. What God has done, God will do. What God has done, God will do. This is a promise. It comes to us through the stories that we tell each other. What God has done, God will do. And so Mark writes about a new Exodus, in which when, you know, if you read Exodus, the 8th verse of Exodus says, this is another thing. So if your parents make you read the Bible, you can quote the 8th verse of Exodus. The 8th verse of Exodus says, hold on, let me see if I can get this right. Is there a Bible out there in the pew? Hopefully somebody can verify this for me. So the 8th verse of Exodus says, a king rose over Egypt, a pharaoh rose over Egypt that did not know Joseph. That's the turning point in the book of Exodus. That's really where the book of Exodus begins. That's when you know something's up. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. Joseph was in good with Pharaoh. Now, we don't really know this guy. We're all in trouble, right? We're all in trouble. There's a breakdown in a relationship. That's how the book of Exodus starts. That's what prompts the whole thing of Moses coming down, freeing the people, them heading into the wilderness, all the griping, and eventually into the Holy Land, right? It's this long process. It's a process, right? And Mark is framing this process the same way, that this breakdown in relationship means that we double down, that we only take a staff, that we trust God and trust the folks that we have broken relationship when we move in with them in a vulnerable way, which is a very powerful thing. When I was in Peru, this is 2008. Is that right? Like you all know my family history here. 2008, I think. So I went to Peru. I was there for several months, almost a half year, a little more than half of a year in Peru. And I met a lot of folks. And the guy that I went down to meet was this Catholic priest who had moved from North Dakota and had made his life there since the late 1970s in Chimbote, Peru, which is, it's a coastal city. It's north of Lima. And so I go and I meet this priest, and I get to know him very quickly as somebody that is extremely smart, very spiritual, grounded in his faith, and loves this community and wants to help them. And so I'm taking my direction from him. And we go on these walks every morning where he's walking through this little, the parish, I mean the town around the church that he is working in. And he's saying hello to people. People are saying hello to him. And the walk would take about an hour. It would start at 9:30. So we wouldn't be done until like 10:30, 11. But as we're walking, what I noticed is that there were kids everywhere. There were children everywhere. And it was the school year, like on a weekday. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? So I ask him about it. I'm like, why aren't any of these kids in school? Because I know where the school is. And he says, well, here's what you need to know. So to go to school in Peru, unlike the United States, you have to show up with a uniform and all the supplies that you will need, the paper, the pens, the books, the stuff that you will need, and a little extra for the administration and the teachers of the school too. That's what's required of you to go to school in Peru. And these kids can't afford that. I can fix that. I got a solution for that. So I write some friends back in the United States. We get some donations. We buy some school supplies. We start handing them out to folks. I'm like, all right, we got this fixed. And so the next day, kids are still out there. And I said, what's going on? And John, the priest, said, oh, they took those supplies, they sold them, and they bought groceries with that. I can fix that. Right, call the United States, get some more money, school supplies and a little bit extra for groceries. Done. Next day, come out, no kids in school. What's going on? Didn't you notice that the same group of people just kept coming back for the supplies? So not everybody got the supplies. I can fix that. Do it. Get my computer out. Start a spreadsheet. Spreadsheets solve everything. Know who's coming. know who I've given supplies to, know who I've not given supplies to, get some uniforms, give those out. Man, we're golden. School day starts the next week. This is like a 3-week process here. Next week, school starts, less kids in the streets. Kids are going to school. I'm like, yes, yes, we've done this. And so I'm sitting outside. So the parish sits across the street from the school building. So I'm sitting out talking to one of the guards who works at the parish. And the bell rings at noon, and all the kids leave the school. This is at noon. So they started at 9:30. This is noon. All the kids leave the school. 1 o'clock rolls around. Nobody comes back. 2 o'clock rolls around. Nobody comes back. 3 o'clock rolls around. Nobody. So I go to Joe. What's going on here? He goes, oh, just so you know, kids only go half a day in Peru because the other half of the day, the teachers who give up half of their salary as a bribe to get the job, then go work as private tutors for the contractors, the expatriate contractors that are here from Europe and the United States. I can't fix that, right? And so what I realized was I was coming in here trying with my resources and my stuff and trying to fix a problem that was much bigger than me. That's what I was trying to do. I was brokenhearted. I think I teared up about it. That's when John just noticed that I had gone through this process, right? He had noticed that I had spun all my wheels. And he said, okay, I want you to come talk to some folks. And so he introduced me to a group of people who were working really hard in the community to create resources and opportunities for children. And it was meeting this group and connecting with this group that I was able to connect with a group of people and lend myself in a way as a partner, as a vulnerable partner in a process to help children in Peru, right? In the gospel, Jesus' answer to the broken relationship is not might is right. It's not let's just go tell everybody how it is. Let's just go fix this thing. It's vulnerability. What I notice, I think what I notice in our country is broken relationship, a lot of broken relationship. And here we are at the birth of our country. And I think a lot of us can agree, I hope that most of us, all of us in this room can agree, that that the principles that found this place are beautiful principles of liberty, of connectedness, of self-sacrifice, of giving ourselves for each other. That there is a patchwork that we have created, and there's an experiment called the United States. And that experiment, it depends on us figuring out how to trust each other, right? And that trust seems to be eroding slowly and slowly, more and more over time. Jesus' answer in Mark is vulnerability. It's a process of going into people's lives, carrying only a stick, nothing else, listening, confronting the evil that exists in their life, casting out the demons, anointing with oil, healing the sickness. And then after that, after you do those two things, after you confront people, you listen and confront people's evil in their lives, after you anoint folks with oil, then that leaves you the room to say something like, God is at the center of my life. I've been confronted by this person, Jesus. I've turned my life to him. Maybe this would work for you too, right? Here's another boring part about the gospel that you're all going to get bored about, but it's pretty cool. So in the Gospel of Mark, he does this thing where he takes a story and he cuts it in half and he puts another story in the middle of it and then he puts it back together. He does this a lot. And he does it on purpose. And the other two, Matthew and Luke, they're like so confused by this. And so they split the stories back out. But Mark is doing this on purpose. One of those stories is the fig tree. Y'all remember the fig tree? It's like the weirdest thing where Jesus condemns the fig tree and then the fig tree dies, right? And you read this in Matthew and it's like, what? Well, why does Jesus hate fig trees? Like, what is going on here, right? Well, in Mark, here's how that story started. Is Mark has it split up. Jesus condemns the fig tree, and then Jesus goes into the temple, clears the temple out. Jesus comes out of the temple, and the fig tree has died. It's a commentary on the corporate worship and the temple itself that will eventually be destroyed by the Romans, right? So he does that on purpose. Jesus has done the same thing with this story, though the people who friend the lectionary have messed it up too. So next Sunday, we will read the martyrdom of John the Baptist. That will happen next Sunday in the Gospel of Mark. But it's one of these. So the story happens so that Jesus sends out the 12. The 12 come back, and they talk about a successful time away, casting out demons, healing people, getting people to repent. But in there, Mark cuts that open and puts in there the death of John the Baptist, right? So that folks who are hearing this story for the first time and getting introduced to Jesus will recognize that this process of self-sacrifice, of vulnerability, of going among folks, there are setbacks and disappointments and failures and losses. But at the same time, God shows up in the midst of all of that, right? That's what Mark is trying to get across to us. The answer to broken relationship in the Gospel of Mark, it's vulnerability. It's going out and being with people, right? It's listening. It's confronting evil. It's offering oil for healing. It's saying, I've turned my life towards Jesus. What if you turned your life towards Jesus? What would that look like? Amen.
With all our heart, with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy.
Salvation of our souls, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all peoples, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for our bishop and for all the clergy and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, for the leaders of the nations, and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Chattanooga, for every city and community, and for those who live in them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the good earth which God has given us, and for the wisdom and will to conserve it, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the aged and infirm, for the widowed and orphans, and for the sick and the suffering, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor and the oppressed, for the unemployed and the destitute, for prisoners and captives, and for all who remember and care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the hope of the resurrection, and for all the departed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the absolution and remission of our sins and offenses, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, who has given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech thee that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of thy favor and glad to do thy will. Bless our land with honorable industry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties and fashion into one united people the multitudes brought hither out of many kindreds and tongues. And do with the spirit of wisdom those to whom in thy name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that throughout obedience to thy law we may show forth thy praise among the nations of the earth. In the time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in thee to fail. All which we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
So there, people at home are getting an announcement video right now. So we got to fill some time here. God's peace. Peace. God's peace. Oh, I was going to say peace to a baby, but there's just an empty carrier here. God's peace to you. Peace. Do I? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, give me the signal. Give me the thumbs up and we're ready. I heard yesterday was fantastic. Yeah. Good. Peace. Everyone can be seated. I'm going to wait for John to give me the thumbs up here. You never know how long 2 minutes is until you have to sit in silence for 2 minutes. All right, great. Here we are. So welcome to folks who are watching at home. Welcome to all of you. Happy 4th of July. I hope it's safe and wonderful and yet your dogs aren't all freaked out. That's important. I pray for the dogs on the weekend of 4th of July and other weekends. Lanny has sort of gotten used to it by now. When the big pops happen, he gets a little bit weird, but He's pretty good about it these days. Just a couple of important things that are coming up. One is that next Sunday, there will be a 7:30 service at, well, let's back up a little bit. Tuesday, there will be a 6:30 p.m. service with Eucharist here at St. Thaddeus. And then next Sunday, there will be a 7:30 a.m. at St. Albans. And then there will be a 10 a.m. at both St. Albans and St. Thaddeus. At St. Thaddeus, it will be morning prayer, and there's a guest preacher lined up. There will be music, and I think D. Taylor is going to be the person who officiates that next Sunday. And then at St. Albans, there will be Holy Eucharist. And then the following Sunday, it will flip, and Eucharist will be here at St. Thaddeus with morning prayer over at St. Albans. So be looking for that. If you're a person who watches at home, know that starting next week for the near future, until the vestry at St. Thaddeus can figure something out, we are going to be broadcasting from St. Albans alone because we haven't done all the work that we need to do to really broadcast from St. Thaddeus. So we're going to work with the vestry at St. Thaddeus and talk about how that's going to look going forward. I also need you to know that I plan to meet with the vestries and the worship committee early on in July to talk about a transition to an every Sunday Eucharist in August. So we're going to figure that out. So be on the lookout for that. That's coming down the pike. If you are a part of the church at St. Albans, on Sunday, August the 1st, from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. is a parish forum with lunch. I did this out of chronological order, but if you are a part of St. Thaddeus, July 25th, the part two of our parish forum, well, again, 12 to 2, at both of those, lunch will be served. So it was a great conversation at Thaddeus. I anticipate this conversation continuing. It's really important. It's really important that you show up, lend your voice to what's going on. Walk in love is, oh, wait. Who does? Gabby has an announcement. A pool party. Where is the pool party? Oh, that's right. That's right. She did text me. I said, go forth and prosper. Yeah. Okay, so that's next Sunday. So, Lakeshore Estates Pool? Okay. So if you're interested in the pool party, check it out in the weekly email. Okay. Thank you, Gabby. Pool party. Awesome. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, and your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Alban, Jude, Thaddeus, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God to make his face shine upon you this day and forever. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life.
Body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Come on. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Today, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in eternal life.
The body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in eternal life.
This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
The body of Christ,
the bread of heaven.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in this day and every day.
The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life.
Bread of heaven.
Now forever in his need, through his death the world is free. Word of the Spirit, bringing peace in Jesus' name. Now his ever-living love.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Alleluia, alleluia. Now go out into the world to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia,
alleluia.
Hallelujah.